Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, in studio today with Kevin Wizzardo of WWAY News Channel 3 and Dr. Woody Hall at the Swain Center at UNCW. We're exploring what proposed changes to film incentives could mean in North Carolina, and we'd like to hear from you. Actually, we do have a fully lit up phone bank, so if you can't get through on the phone, send us an email at coastline@whqr.org, or you can tweet us using CoastlineHQR. And I want to go to Ellie from Wilmington. Ellie, you had a comment on something Dr. Hall said.
Yes, I did. Although John commented on it, and that was the grant program. Dr. Hall minimized, I think, the negative impact that a grant program would have. First of all, it's a very laborious exercise to have to write a grant. The film production is not involved in grant writing, never has been. So if they think they're going to have to submit grants rather than the kind of procedures that they are normally used to, I really think that they're not going to bother, number one. Number two, this grant process is going to be overseen by politically appointed people who are paid with private public money. And it becomes a political process, not an effective economic process.
Ellie, you raise an interesting point, because I've heard people in the industry say similar things, that there's actually just software out there. There are highly paid CPAs whose sole job is to plug certain states or countries' incentives into a program and figure out what that will mean for a production budget. Dr. Hall, how would you respond to Ellie?
And then I have another point.
Okay, hang on for a second, Ellie, and let's let Dr. Hall respond to that.
Well, I didn't appear to be understated. I think that lobbying pressure is going to play a big role in how those grants are allocated. I have limited experience in writing grants, and I know that it's not the easiest process in the world. I'm in an environment where I should know what I'm doing, and oftentimes I still learn on the fourth one compared to the first. So, again, I would agree with you, Ellie, in that case.
Thank
Ellie,
you
had another point you wanted to make.
Yes. First of all, strong incentives in North Carolina, and not just Wilmington, will give our industry a fighting chance to actually continue with film production here. It makes great economic sense. Film productions create consistent jobs and work, even though the specific productions come and go. It's consistent work if we have good enough incentives. And it will keep families together. You will have people jumping to other states, and they will be separated from their families. I don't understand why our electeds, people who we consider will represent us and our values, don't seem to care about this. Film production's a clean industry. Film production gives students, our universities and our colleges, opportunities for internships and the ability to be taught by knowledgeable teachers right here in their own community. There are so many reasons why this should be a no-brainer. And so I do have a question, and my question is, why do you think, with all of the facts that are evident to most people who understand the current process, why is it that our electeds and appointeds aren't listening to us?
Ellie, that's a good question. Thank you so much for your call. Why, Kevin Wizzardo, how would you respond to Ellie's question?
I think a lot of it just has to go with political perspectives. And, you know, when you're a Republican lawmaker, it's easy to say you're against Hollywood. That's part of it. Part of the, you know, and you may not like that answer, but that's part of it. And also another part of it, maybe a little less harsh, is one of the arguments is, well, if we're doing that for Hollywood, why don't we do it for accountants? They're a nice, clean industry, too, that provide jobs and internships and things like that. And that's, I think, part of the emotion in it, especially here. And one thing is that she said, you know, here in Wilmington, the rest of the state, well, the rest of the state doesn't share the perspective. There are hubs of productions in Charlotte and in Asheville, but if you're living in Person County or Dare County, do you care so much about it?
Let's take another call. We have Penny who wants to comment on, well, Penny, welcome. You're talking about the money paid out by the film industry. Welcome to Coastline.
Hello. Yes, I heard them talking about taxes taken in versus the incentives paid out and whether or not that was an economic boon or not. I didn't hear them discuss the fact that these productions are spending millions of dollars all over our state, and it is reaching every part of our state because they are renting cars from places, they're bringing in equipment from things. If they can't find a certain thing in our area, they will go out all across the state to get it. I see what we pay vendors in this state, and there's going to be a huge loss to companies all over the state if the film industry goes away, which it will. These are independent productions. The studio here does not make a movie at all. The productions come in, they do their work, they spend the money, they base their budgets on the incentives, and they'll go away. They'll go elsewhere. The jobs will go elsewhere. If the people move with the industry, you won't have them paying taxes.
Penny,
it's absurd to take away this huge industry from our state.
Penny is bringing up a point that was raised by Connie Majorette, president and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much for your call, Penny. And Connie Majorette actually published this in the Greater Wilmington Business Journal. She was just looking at local numbers and talking about what recent production spend in the area on rental cars, on florists, you know, in restaurants and hotels. But Dr. Hall, I want to get quickly to the fact that Dr. Robert Hanfield, in his study, was talking about an average salary in this industry of $66,000. Do I have that right? You actually authored your own study in 2009, and you put the average salary for film workers much higher. Tell us about that.
We looked at the economic impact of a mid-major motion picture production. Mid-major being defined as $25 million outlay. It was the Miley Cyrus film that relocated from Wilmington to Savannah, Georgia. It took 13 weeks of time to produce the film. The average salary of a support person, not a major actor.
We're not talking about the Hollywood fat cats or the big stars.
No, we're talking about support person, and this is an average across all skills brought to bear, for the 13 weeks was right around $20,000. So if you make the heroic assumption, a pretty strong assumption, that four of them are made in a year, we're talking about an average annual salary of right around $80,000. And the median family income in southeastern North Carolina, notice I'm saying median family income, is probably less than $50,000. Though I wouldn't necessarily say that someone would make the $80,000, but it's a, you know, we haven't talked too much about the quality of the job. We've talked about the quantity of jobs created. And some of the jobs that are created are highly skilled. And those highly skilled jobs do demand and do in fact get relatively high compensation.
Martha from Wilmington is a 30-year film veteran, she says. Martha, welcome to Coastline.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Well, I have really enjoyed all the points that all of the callers have made. They have been right on point. And I just want to add and talk to the panel about how, you know, this industry is 30 years. There is a legacy and quality of film that is so phenomenal. It's so deep and so vast. And the politicians who are writing us off, they will not be around
in politics. Martha, what do you do in the film industry?
I'm a set decorator, and 30-year veteran in the industry.
And
I live here. I live here in Wilmington. I have been living here for 20 years, and I love Wilmington. I've traveled a lot. I've traveled around the world. I work around the world. But there's no place better to make a film than Bloomington.
Can I ask a question to her then about that?
Sure.
Martha, one thing I'm curious about is how much, in that 30 years of career, how much of that time was spent working in Wilmington versus how much you actually had to go to a different location to do your job?
Well, when the Texans signed as well, when the Canadians started, you know, offering the producers a bigger bang for their buck, so to speak, there was a 10-year dry spell in Wilmington, and that's probably as about as much time as I traveled outside of the state and the country in order to make my living.
So yeah. If the incentive went away, would you continue to make your home here but work somewhere else?
I will, because I have a beautiful home here. It is my home. I love the South, and I feel this is my home, but I will travel again. And it really irks me that I still will have to pay for taxes in North Carolina, as well as the other states that I go to. I can tell you that is, you know, a double negative.
Martha, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
And let's turn now to Michael from Wilmington. Michael, you say that you don't support film incentives. Welcome to Coastline.
No, actually, the person who answered the phone got my answer to that question wrong. I do support film
you
incentives.
You do support film incentives.
And the only point that I wanted to make, I don't work in the industry, but I do appreciate it. I have friends who work in the industry. But my point is that the Republican legislature and government that wants to do away with the film incentives would just as soon have all the people who work in the industry move out of state, because most, I would venture to guess from what I know, that 99% of the people who work in the industry are Democrats. So it's just simple real politics.
You know, Michael, that's an interesting assertion. Thanks so much for your call, Michael. I've heard people say things like that. I actually visited Screen Gems not so long ago, went into a set construction shop, and discovered that it's really a bipartisan industry. There is no Democrat or Republican in a film set shop. There really isn't. In fact, you know, there are many of both.
But I think what the caller before that proved is that the argument that we're all going to have to leave may not hold water. Some people will. Some people will pick up, and if this all goes away, and they will go to Georgia and make a home there. But she said she's traveled for 30 years to make her living and call Wilmington home. So how many people are still going to do that?
And that, you know, that is a good point, Kevin. There are some people who can travel, who don't have little kids at home,
right,
who don't maybe have spouses that couldn't go on the road with them.
Right.
That's an interesting point. There are a lot of people who do have kids who are looking at real estate in other markets and schools in other markets. We have Mike from Leland on the line. Mike, do you have a business that serves the film industry? Welcome to Coastline.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Okay, thanks. Well, I was sort of the other guy, Michael. Have all the friends and stuff in the business, out of the business, whatever. But the point I need to bring up is it's a very vanity-strewn business. All the numbers you're talking about and everything, first off, you realize that these people only work for 6 months. Secondly, there's no more film industry here. There's more of a television industry, because they jumped on board to the incentive scenario. The second thing we have to remember is the state chased away several billion dollar industry called the furniture industry that North Carolina was truly known for, and nobody seems to be trying to get that back, and that kept many people working, and so this is nothing compared to that. So really, really, and we have to remember the studio has nothing to do with the film industry except that it's a rental place. The guy who runs it is a superintendent. That's all it is. They don't bring films here. They have nothing to do with the manufacture of your film, except they rent you a place to shoot it, which this used to be when Dino brought it here 30 years ago. Plus, it used to be a place where you used to go shoot at people's houses and downtown and everything else. So you could shoot movies everywhere. If you want to control them more, you need a studio. But otherwise, a studio isn't the whole reason. Television loves it because they create their sets and they can go back and forth to them. Movies don't really need a studio like that.
Mike, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Molly in the film industry. She is a member of the film community. She says she's put down roots. She is working on Banshee in Charlotte. Without the incentive, says Molly, she'll be forced to sell her house and move. All her purchases, she says, will be lost to North Carolina. And Joseph says the film business has been very good to him. Joseph, welcome to Coastline.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to echo that, you know, if the incentives leave, that I'll be forced to move too, and that'll be money that I will not be spending in Wilmington, and the grant program will not work. It will not compete with other states like Georgia, which is where I will probably end up moving if it turns to the grant program. And I've been in film 4 years, and it's been great. I have my wife on insurance. We just bought our first home, and we're looking forward to having children, but we're just kind of putting that on hold to see if we're going to have to move or not.
Joseph, thanks so much for your call. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Dr. Woody Hall, senior economist at the Swain Center for Business and Economic Services at UNC Wilmington, and Kevin Wizzardo from WWAY News Channel 3. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week for Coastline. We're talking about coal ash. What have we learned? How will the state regulate it? And how is Duke Energy responding? Take note also of our new regular show day, Wednesdays at 2. So join us next week on Wednesday, July 2nd at 2 o'clock here on WHQR 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Coastline's producer is Ken Campbell. Associate producers are Bob Workman and Lindsay McGrath. Our technical coordinator is George Scheibner and Lan Nichols. That's two people. Our web services coordinator is Jason Hess. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of our listeners and our guests, and not necessarily of WHQR Public Radio or our licensee, Friends of Public Radio, Incorporated. Thanks so much to all of you who called in, tweeted, and emailed. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.